is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth, who keeps truth forever and never forsakes the works of his own hands. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from him that is, and that was, and that is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, which is the faithful witness, the first begotten of death, and the prince of all the kings of the earth. Amen. Let's continue our service by singing 444, the fifth stanza. Like as a father looked with compassion upon his children, lo, in such a fashion the Lord does look on them that fear and trust. 444. Congregation, the reading of the Holy Scriptures can be found in the book of Psalms, Psalm 84. Psalm 84. Before the 12 oracles and after the Lord's Day 24.
I believe in God the Father, Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Psalm 84. How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts! My soul longeth, yea, even fainted for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cried out for the living God. Yea, the sparrow hath found an house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even where she may lay her young, even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house, they will be still praising thee, Selah. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them, who passing through the valley of Baca, make it well. The rain also filleth the pools. They go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. O Lord, God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob, Selah. Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusted in thee. So far. Lord's Day 24, question 62. But why cannot our good works be the whole or part of our righteousness before God? Answer. Because that a righteousness which can be approved or before the tribunal of God must be absolutely perfect, and in all respects conformable to the divine law, and also that our best works in this life are all imperfect and defiled with sin. Question 63. What? Do not our good works merit, which yet God will reward in this and in a future life? Answer. This reward is not of merit, but of grace. Question 64. But doth not this doctrine make men careless and profane? Answer. By no means, for it is impossible that those who are implanted into Christ by a true faith should not bring forth fruits of thankfulness.
Before we go through the administration of the preaching of the word, we are called to the administration of baptism concerning one of the children of the congregation. And we are reading the form for the administration of baptism. In the first place, I want to say, if you read the form, you see that it deals first with the content of baptism. And then the second question is, should children be baptized also? So it deals first with baptism experienced, and then the children, should they be baptized also? That's the second part of this form. Why I say this? If in the forefathers' families there were not true children of God, you couldn't baptize your children. Even it's asked that the parents should be true believers, but that's not only for baptism, that's for every moment. Why I say this? If you see that Lydia was baptized, her children were baptized. Her children were not baptized when Lydia wasn't baptized and born again. That's the order. Now, why I say this is that in the four generations before there have been children of God. And your children are also, even if you are not a child of God. And I'm not saying you're not. That's not my judgment. But they are children of those who believed in the Lord Jesus. Generations, generations. Now I say this, then you know why this administration forum is divided in two parts. And you see, first, I'm going to read. The principal part of the doctrine of holy baptism are these three. First, that we with our children are conceived and born in sin, and therefore are children of wrath, insomuch that we cannot enter into the kingdom of God except we are born again. This, the dipping in or sprinkling with water, teaches whereby the impurity of our soul is sanctified, that we admonish to loathe and humble ourselves before God and seek for our purification and salvation without ourselves. Secondly, holy baptism witnesseth and sealeth unto us the washing away of our sins through Jesus Christ. Therefore we are baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. For when we are baptized in the name of the Father, God the Father witnesses and seals unto us that he does make an eternal covenant of grace with us and adopts us for his children and heirs, and therefore will provide us with every good thing and avert all evil or turn it to our profit. And when we are baptized in the name of the Son seals unto us that he does wash us in his blood from all our sins, incorporating us into the fellowship of his death and resurrection, so that we are freed from all our sins and accounted righteous before God. In like manner, when we are baptized in the name of the Holy Ghost assures us by this holy sacrament that he will dwell in us and sanctify us to be members of Christ, applying unto us that which we have in Christ, namely the washing away of our sins and the daily renewing of our lives, till we shall finally be presented without spot or wrinkle among the assembly of the elect in life eternal. Thirdly, whereas in all covenants there are contained two parts, therefore are we by God through baptism admonished of and obliged unto new obedience, namely that we cleave to this one God, Father, Son and Holy Ghost, that we trust in him, that we love him with all our hearts, with all our souls, with all our mind, with all our strength, and that we forsake the world, crucify our old nature, and walk in a new and holy life. And if we sometimes through weakness fall into sin, we must not therefore despair of God's mercy, nor continue in sin. Since baptism is a seal and undoubted testimony that we have an eternal covenant of grace with God. And although our young children do not understand these things, we may not therefore exclude them from baptism. For as they are without their knowledge partakers of the condemnation in Adam, so they are again received into grace in Christ, as God speaks to Abram, the father of all the faithful, and therefore unto us and our children, saying, I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee in their generations, for an everlasting covenant to be a God unto thee, and to thy seed after thee. Genesis 17:7. There's also the apostle Peter testifies with these words, for the promise is unto you and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord our God shall call. Therefore God formally commanded them to be circumcised, which was a seal of the covenant and of the righteousness of faith, and therefore Christ also embraced them, laid his hands upon them, and blessed them, Mark 10. Since then baptism is come in the place of circumcision, therefore infants are to be baptized as heirs of the kingdom of God and of his covenant, and parents are in duty bound further to instruct their children therein. when they shall arrive to years of discretion, that therefore this holy ordinance of God may be administered to his glory, to our comfort, and to the edification of his church. Let us call upon his holy name. Let's pray. O Almighty and Eternal God, thou who hast, according to thy severe judgment, punished the unbelieving and unrepentant world with the flood, and hast, according to thy great mercy, saved and protected believing Noah and his family, thou who hast drowned the obstinate Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, and hast led thy people Israel through the midst of the sea upon dry ground, by which baptism was signified, we beseech thee that we'll be pleased of thine infinitive mercy, graciously to look upon this child, incorporated by thy Holy Spirit into thy Son Jesus Christ, that it may be buried with him into his death, and be raised with him in newness of life, that it may daily follow him, joyfully bearing its cross, and cleave unto him in a true faith, firm hope, and ardent love, that it may with a comfortable sense of thy favor leave this life, which is nothing but a continual death, and that the last day may appear without terror before the judgment seat of Christ thy Son, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who with thee and the Holy Ghost, one only God, lives and reigns forever. Amen. I ask the parents to stand. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, you've heard that baptism is an ordinance of God to seal unto us and to our seed his covenant. Therefore it must be used to that end, and not out of custom or superstition, that it may then be manifest that you are thus minded, you are to answer sincerely to these questions. First, whether you acknowledge that although our children are conceived and born in sin, and therefore are subject to all miseries, yea, to condemnation itself, yet that they are sanctified in Christ, and therefore as members of his church ought to be baptized. Secondly, whether you acknowledge the doctrine which is contained in the Old and New Testament and in the articles of Christian faith, and which is taught here in this Christian church, to be the true and perfect doctrine of salvation. Thirdly, whether you promise and intend to see your child when it comes to the year of discretion, or of your parents, instructed and brought up in the aforesaid doctrine, or help or cause them to be instructed therein, to the utmost of your power. Father and Mother Klein, what is there on your answer? Yes. Congregation, while the children are brought in, oh, we will sing. I didn't give it up. But we'll sing 84. To that 225. 1 and 2, 225, while the children are brought in, let's sing. Or while the child is brought in, let's sing. 225, 1 and 2, is that possible? 3? 225. Thank you. Spirit, to your time, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let's sing 436, this third stanza. First, children, you're all baptized, isn't it? You don't remember because you were too little to understand it proper. But now you see that the little child of your family is baptized. So once you were, do you know what the Lord did? He says, "My son and my daughter, give me your heart." He was the first to ask for your poor soul. God is always the first. And it may be your prayer also as children that God would give you what he promises. That the promise of grace, congregation to the little ones in our congregation, might be applied by the Holy Ghost. Being engrafted in Christ, being a partaker of him, his precious blood, and his precious spirit. Old people, or older people, you're all probably baptized still. Did you receive forgiveness of sins and the indwelling of the Spirit? Are you engrafted by a true faith in the Lord Jesus? Or is that promise just empty? Never brought you on your knees, wrestled with it. We're all traveling to an eternal eternity. And without the knowledge of the gift, the given Savior to your soul, it's all in vain, empty. All your church going will end in a disastrous eternity. Oh, that God might give you, out of sovereign grace, what's signified here. The dipping that's going under in judgment, being taken out of judgment as if I had never sinned or done any evil. That's baptism. United, it's a sign of the manner, and we need the manner. But the sign is given to this little boy. Isn't it a wonder that he separated in the way he does, signifying that unity with the Lord Jesus, which you need for eternity. And I hope, parents, by the grace of God, that you gave birth to this little boy, that you might be instrumental by grace, and you, Father, educating them, that God might use it, that he might be given that grace to be a newborn there starts to form with a newborn child, a child of God. We need it in these times especially, always, but it's a time when the world is sucking, getting it, being after you. But listen dear, the Lord is stronger than the whole world together. And he might give you that grace, that everlasting grace, in Christ Jesus alone. May God bless you and be a blessing in your family. What a wonder, eh? That he gave you so many children, that the old ones might be born again to the glory of God. You're a teacher. You have many children during the week. But be a teacher at home. May God give you that grace to teach them the ways of heaven in Christ alone. May God bless you all. Amen. You can sit. We'll end with prayer and continue. Lord, we thank thee that by thy grace thou hast given us the sign and the seal of the covenant of grace, of that wondrous covenant, one-sided, that also engrafted and given to the little ones. But Lord, we pray that not only the promises, but that the promises might be fulfilled, that it might be given them to believe in the Lord Jesus, to be comforted by baptism, that sins are forgiven only by thee in the way of a true faith in the Lord Jesus. Be with the family, remember the whole congregation. Lord, open there unto also this afternoon thy precious word to understand these things. For faith is by the hearing of the word. Let them that have ears hear. And those who have no ears, give them an ear to hear and a heart to understand. Be with the whole congregation, with the schools where teachers are educating the children, with the school boards or the homeschoolers, the mothers and fathers, that it might be nurseries for thy true church, the church that will last everlastingly. Those who are called out of the world to the union with thee, inwardly and perfectly. O Lord, remember us this afternoon. Please, open the scriptures for Jesus' sake. Remember the sick, the mourning families, those who are in institutions and are lonely sometimes, the orphans, the widows and the widowers, who had some children, and they all gone out of house. Remember thy old covenant, that we may see generations to generations to know their sins forgiven, a home everlastingly with thee. Please open the scriptures. We are not worthy of it, but we plead upon the promises of thee, signified in baptism, signified, and maybe by grace sealed to the souls, to our everlasting souls. For Jesus' sake we pray. Amen. Congregation, we'll sing now 227, 1 through 3. And while we sing, the collection will be out, 227, 1 through 3. congregation the questions in the Lord's Day 23, immediately deal with the question of baptism. We all, in history, come from the Roman Catholic Church. And in the time of the Reformation, God revived the Church. So that you can only speak about a justification to be made just, counted just, by a true faith in Christ, by Christ only. But the Roman Catholic Church believed, and that addresses the Lord's Day 24, that you are in two steps justified. In two steps you are justified. For your justification is not only Christ's righteousness counted and put in your account, but on baptism, grace is dripped into your soul, and by the baptism working, the love of God is poured out in your heart. You are born again by baptism. And then you start to do good works. And good works are a condition for justification. So the charity, the love, poured out in your heart by the baptism, ex opere operato, baptism works that love in your heart, or drips that love in your heart, says the Roman Catholic Church, you make you worthy for justification, for faith in Christ. It's preparation. So you can have love in your soul, but no faith. It can be dripped in your heart, but not justified. You can be born again by baptism and still not a new creature. So justification, or to be made just in the sight of God, has two steps in the Catholic Church, the Roman Catholic Church. And when you're baptized, your original sins are forgiven. And love is dripped in your soul. Hey, do you hear something? Even today, what people teach? Two steps. First works, and then grace. And my works and Christ's works joined together make me righteous in the sight of God. Two steps. So you can have grace in your heart, love, but no faith. And your works should make you ready for faith. Conditional. The congregation, if you read carefully the Lord's Day 24, then the question is asked, but why cannot our good works, they don't deny that there are good works, there are. But why cannot our good works be the whole or a part of our righteousness before God? The Pharisees said that you could only by works justify it. You don't need to have faith in Christ. The Pharisees believed that even our nature was not defiled since fall. So you could do good works, and your good works presented you righteous before God. Therefore they hated Christ. And he says, flesh is of no use. He crossed it out. Said, no good in man. They hated him, crucified him. For that reason. But in the Roman Catholic Church there's a kind of middle way. You have to have a new heart, have to do and prove it by good works, and they make you ready. That's the third time I say it, but let me say it three times for justification. If you have no good works, you can never be saved. You might go to the purgatory and burn a bit. And if you're burned enough, then probably you jump in heaven. What a nonsense. Now why can't our good works not be a part or whole of our righteousness before God? Well, the answer is because that the righteousness which can be proved before the tribunal of God must be absolutely perfect. Deaf congregation, if you listen carefully to the preaching, I don't leave you any good works out of your works. The Bible doesn't. There's no one that doeth good, not a single one. Only one, that's the Lord Jesus, but not you. Are we done so totally depraved that we can do anything? Good question. Answer 8? No, you can't. You can't. Your good works are defiled. Are evil works in the sight of God. You have to be perfect. Now I have a question to young people. If the law says in travel you can only drive 80 kilometers, is 81 kilometers a trespass or not? You have to be perfect. The law asked perfectness. The law doesn't wiggle. Love the Lord with all your heart, with all your mind, and all your strength. All your strength. All. Therefore the Lord gave the law for trespasses' sake, to show that we don't love Him with all our heart, that we are not perfect before God, because by the law is the knowledge of sin. That's how God works. Bring you to justice. And the judgment of God. Therefore, you see it again, the catechism is clear. Because that the righteousness which can be approved or before the tribunal of God must be absolutely perfect. The slightest deviation condemns me and you. God asked that righteousness that we possessed in paradise before the fall. God doesn't change His requirements. He asks it still. God doesn't change. The judge doesn't change. He requires perfect obedience. And congregation, it isn't. If you trespass against one commandment, Paul says you trespass against God and the whole law. Now why do you preach this always, Pastor? Even when I'm preaching it now, I feel sometimes some of you will be tired of it. You're leaving us no room. What I say doesn't matter, but God says matters. Even if you are the nicest man in the whole world, very friendly, your works are absolutely not perfect and can't stand before God. If you just don't abide with the book of the law, and we don't since the fall, there is no righteousness by works. For you're not absolutely perfect like you were in the state of innocence, in the state of righteousness. All our works will condemn us in the sight of God. And in all respects, it has to be to the honor of God. Good works are in itself no good works, unless they are honoring God. I helped that poor man. Why do you do it? To get a good name? Or is it for the honor of your God? That's different. Do you want to be seen? But your right hand should know what your left hand does. Or your left hand should know what your right hand does. You don't need to prove and approving sights and nods. Of the people around you. They are, like you yourself, hypocritical. Saying you are good, and you are absolutely no good. whatever respect is, it should be out of love. Love to God. If it's not by love, you're a tinkling cymbal. If it's not by love motivated. Now, what does God ask, says the catechism, in the law? To love God above all, and your neighbor as yourself. Do you? Do you believe still the truth which you confess to be true, even now when your child is baptized? You confess that the catechism and the Dort's canons and the confession of faith are the truth. Question answer 8 says, not at all, but by nature we hate God and our neighbor. Pastor, stop it now. No, I don't. I won't. By nature we're all enemies of God. Not the slightest interest. We are not seeking God. And if someone is saved, God seeks that little one and finds it and brings it home on the shoulders of the Messiah. So there's nothing. We are not conformable to the requirements of God. Yeah, but Pastor, now I have a question. When you're born again, you bring forth fruits. And if there are no works or fruits of faith, you don't have the true faith. Are the fruits or the works or the love after grace then a part of your righteousness before God? For the Catholic Church it's not. It is, I mean. But the Bible says no. For your best works are defiled with sin, spotted with dirty desires and wrong attitudes. And dirty acts. Lying. Stealing. God knows it. Even when you've got a white robe, by faith in Christ, you mark them and mark that red, that white robe with dirty spots. Make your guilt daily more. That's what we do. Therefore in Zechariah 3 it says clearly, when Joshua the high priest stood before the angel of the Lord, that's the Lord Jesus, the angel of the covenant, that's the Old Testament revelation of the second person of the Trinity, he was clothed with filthy garments. And the devil said he can serve with those filthy garments in the sanctuary. He can't. He is unable. He's condemned. In congregation, do you know what God said to him? Take away the filthy garments. And I will clothe thee with chains of raiment. I have clean clothes, white robes. Take away that filthy rags of self-righteousness. And I will clothe you with chains raiment. Congregation, do you know what I saw once? That God has changed raiments thousands in his wardrobe. Till my last robe will be white as snow. And I can't defile it anymore. What a grace, eh? And therefore, congregation, now I come back to baptism. Baptism is come instead of the circumcision. Baptists dispersed it with us. They say, oh, girls are not baptized in the Old Testament, so it can be a substitution for, baptism can be a substitution for the circumcision. But if you know it clearly, that in the Old Testament, the women are counted in the man. But another reason, that Old Testament circumcision pointed to the circumcision of Christ. And after he was circumcised, he was baptized, instituted baptism. And if you teach me, and tell me, that Christ wasn't baptized after he was circumcised, for the new covenant in the New Testament area, you were not circumcised. Then you had to fulfill the whole law, but only baptized by the blood of Christ and by the Spirit of Christ. And in the Old Testament, children were baptized or circumcised. 8 days old. Tell me why 8 days. Why 8 days? Why not 7 days? Tell me, children, tell me, why 8 days? The eighth day, what's the first day? What's the eighth day? The first day of the week. What happened the first day of the week? Christ was raised for our justification. And circumcision and baptism is a sign, a visible preaching of the righteousness of faith in Christ alone. The eighth day. The eighth day is the day of resurrection of Christ Jesus. And by his resurrection, God justifies his people by the application of the Holy Ghost. Obligation. We baptize sinners. But Baptists are always baptizing believers. They baptize your faith. But we are baptizing not believers, sinners, that they might be believers, might be washed and engrafted in Christ Jesus alone. I know we live in a time we want to experience these things. I say it's a special experience when you come to conversion and be baptized. That's expression of a special experience. What's more, may you God a sign when you even didn't ask for it, or when you got to ask for it. God comes to children. And I'm not saying all the children will be saved. I hope you will. Dear friends, dear children, you all might be a child of God. But you need the application of a true faith in Christ, that your sins are forgiven and indwelt by the Holy Ghost to sanctify you for his service and grace. Well, so no good works, for our best works are imperfect and spotted with sins, can't stand in agreement with God's righteousness. The best are just sinners, and my best works are full of sin. But Pastor, I have another question. Do not our good works merit? Which yet God will reward in this and the future life. Doesn't God God say that he will reward the works of grace. And if it is a reward, then there is some valuable thing in the good work. Then there might be a merit. If God rewards his servants. But listen carefully, congregation. I have to say one word. God makes his people an heir, giving them an inheritance as a reward. Now tell me, can you work for your inheritance? Can you buy it? Can you say, I'm an heir of that rich man there somewhere in Oxford County, or I don't know? Can you? Why are you an heir? And why does God reward you as an heir of the kingdom of God? By sovereign grace, while you are a child of God. Only God's children are heirs and co-heirs with Jesus. That's not by works. It's by grace. Only by grace. Only by mercy. For if I had to be rewarded for my good servants, I have no. I will be condemned for all my prayers, for all my works, for all my good intentions, spotted and defiled with self-interest, self-glory, own interest, not for his glory. Has there never been, Pastor? I'm not saying there's never been. It's always mixed. It's his glory. And there are some attitudes that seek my own interest, looking for the eyes of man, publicly or secretly, spotted. But God's people are rewarded for grace's sake. When you are a child of God, they are heirs and co-heirs. Therefore the Lord Jesus has come. The Father says, come, all things are prepared. Come. The kingdom of God is prepared from eternity for you. Come, inherit. Be with me everlastingly, ever gloriously. Let's sing. 293, 1 and 2. But Pastor, would you say and teach that there are no good works? You think there are no good works? That's contrary to the scriptures. Yeah? Yeah, that's contrary to the scriptures. What then? Well, in James 2:24, the Lord by His Spirit says by the mouth of James, the pastor of Jerusalem, of the church of Jerusalem, a man of God inspired by the Spirit. And he says this, what does it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and hath not works? What does that faith profit? If you say, I have faith and no works. Can faith save you? It seems to be disputable that it's only by faith or faith alone. Can faith, says James, save you? But if faith has no works or fruits, it's a dead faith. It's not faith. If you say, I believe, and it's not seen or testified by the Spirit in your life, it's a dead faith. There are fruits or works. Absolutely. But we didn't say that there are no works, but I said only by the way of the scriptures that works cannot justify it. They are spotted with sins. Your raiment is dirty after grace. But there should be works. If you listen carefully to the form of child baptism and baptism, when you are by faith cut off from Abram and engrafted in Christ, being united with him, you are partaker of two things. First, of his blood, and second, of the indwelling power of his Spirit. If the Spirit of God doesn't belong to you, you don't belong to Christ, says Paul. If the Spirit of God doesn't dwell in you, you don't belong to the Messiah. So the Spirit makes me working. Let's listen to the whole scripture. In Galatians chapter 5, there are the works of the flesh. And we have said it this morning, all evil works. I'm not going to reiterate and to bring it again. The Bible says there's no good work in myself. And then it speaks later about the fruits of the Spirit. I told you before, I was a pastor in Leeuwarden, and they had a lot of fruit trees. And it was Thanksgiving Day, and I stared at him. I said, I saw you this week with a ladder against the trees and taking the pears and the apples. But do you know what I saw? You just, with a scissor, took the plastic threads away. Because first, you bound the apples with a plastic thread to the branches. No, Pastor, no, we didn't. No, I know you didn't. I know. The earth brings by itself fruits. And therefore the Lord Jesus says, it's good that I go, it's useful, for you need another comforter. Do you know what's my other comforter? The Spirit moves. it makes me fruitful. Not me. It are the fruits of the Spirit. And what's the fruit of the Spirit? Love. Compassion. And then you hear 1 Corinthians 13. And if there is no love, no compassion, you're a tinkling cymbal. You're worth not a penny. You say that you have faith, but it's a dead faith, not fruitful. Now why I say this? Because in the first place it's scriptural. Secondly, it's the practice of every Christian. We started this morning with the letter of Paul to Ephesus. And the Lord Jesus says, I know your works, but you've abandoned your first love. And then he turns and he says, repent and do your first works. Now when grace is given to you, God's old people said, you couldn't step just across a straw. It was a narrow life, a narrow communion, a love that's fruitful. For the love of Christ constrains us. And therefore, his yoke is light, his burden. His yoke is soft, and his burden is light. His love. Is love hard? Is love difficult? What's love? Love seeks the honor of the other. If love of Christ is poured out by the Holy Ghost in your heart, and baptism is a sign of it, eh? Not only the blood of Christ, read the form, but also the gift of the Holy Ghost. And that Holy Ghost sheds abroad the love of God in your heart to seek his communion, to walk in his ways, to repent where you have sinned, to care, to wait for him by grace. And therefore, congregation, if you say I have faith and you miss the Spirit of God, the love of God, not before, dear God, faith, but as a fruit of the union with Christ. If the Spirit of Christ doesn't belong to you, you don't belong to Christ. Yeah? Now I have a question. Do the works justify you? Do the fruits justify you? No. Even the fruits are tainted with sins, spotted with dirtiness. But I have to say another thing. The fruits show that you have a justifying faith. Fruits justify your faith. You hear what I'm saying? Fruits justify your faith. Doesn't make you righteous before God, but shows that you have a justifying faith in Christ, that you have the right faith. If the Spirit of God doesn't dwell in you, you have not a true faith, not a justifying faith. So again, it's difficult. Only faith in Christ without the works justify a true saving faith. As a condemned sinner, repenting and grieving, coming to the end of the rope, to the end of the law, that faith for a redeemed Christ to your soul justifies you. But if there is union with Christ, there should be union with his Spirit too. Not only the blood, but also the Spirit, that's love. Yeah, Pastor, and And the firm says, then I got to love God with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my strength. No. Yeah, it's my desire, yeah, that's true. But we have just the beginning of that love. The principally beginning of the love. Who can say here, even if you're a Christian, that you love him with all your heart? Do you? Self-love. Yeah, but Pastor, I faint for it. Yeah. Who loved with all his heart? Who? The Lord Jesus. He loved them to the end. With all his strength. The Lord Jesus. Who gave his life as a sacrifice. In weakness. Lord Jesus, but not me. Yeah, these day words of people say, do like Jesus does. What a nonsense. You don't do what Jesus does. Self-love, fleshly, sold into sin, dead are you, dead am I. Not my love, the love of the Spirit, love of God, towards God. Luther says that love creates love in me. It's not my love, it's his love that creates love in me. And that will be seen. Then there is some compassion and not a harsh judgment. If you see the world sinning, you're afraid that you will still sin tomorrow. Therefore the Bible says, fear. That's a childlike fear given by love. Fear not to sin. If you say, now I'm a converted man and I'm having all the promises, and I talked this week to a man somewhere, said, do you know, my dear friend, some people who stay to be a sinner and have no sin anymore? He says, it's hardly to be found in this circle around here. Or they are only sinners, or they are only saved people. But God's people are sinners saved outside of themselves by a true faith in Christ, indwelt as the temple of God by the Holy Ghost. Repentance, knowing that if sinned against love, makes me to hate sin and to love righteousness. That's the power of the Holy Ghost. He gives repentance and faith, a broken heart and a contrite spirit are pleasure in the sight of God. Humble, low estate, poor and yet rich, weak and still strong, a sinner. And at the same time, no sinner anymore. Who understands this? Catholics say you have to be a better man. But if you're a Christian, you're a new man. In Christ. A sinner covered with the white robe of the Lord Jesus. Oh, my dear congregation, friends, traveling with me to eternity, we all have to meet God at the judgment seat. And if you're not perfect, you will go down. And you can mix your works with Christ's works. Then you defile all. Therefore the Bible says, he who doesn't work, but believes on him whom is justifying the ungodly, his faith will be counted for righteousness. In Christ, resting in his works. Therefore, Romans 4:11 speaks about the circumcision. It says, the circumcision is a sign of the righteousness of faith. I have to explain it. What is the righteousness of faith? That's the righteousness of Christ received by faith. And if God gives it to you, you'll know it. That your sins are forgiven. And that you are a new creature. That the load is taken from your shoulders. The prison is wide opened. Heaven peaks with God. So, I hope that little child might be at it. Dear Deacon, like your forefathers, it was given that you might get it, that you might beg for it, that you might feel that you have to meet God at the judgment seat. And unless you're covered with that white robe being whiter than snow, you will be condemned. And it has to happen here. Some people say, it might be at the gate of heaven. I'm not saying it can be, but it has to happen here by faith. It's a pretext of eternal righteousness that's in Christ Jesus. And therefore, if you're indwelt with the Spirit, love, love, love. If there is no love, there is nothing. But not as a condition for grace, like the Catholics, the Roman Catholics, but as a fruit of grace. As a fruit of the indwelling power. The love of Christ constrains me, makes me fruitful. All the fruit will be given out of the tree of life. Later, perfectly, here by faith, broken, afflicted, in sorrow and grief, coming short of the glory of God, but still longing for the day. And there ends the last prayer. It's a prayer of faith that we at the end may come before the throne of grace without fear. That prayer, I didn't use it this time for one reason. Only that you may understand that that prayer is a prayer of faith. Believing in God who saves only in and by Christ Jesus. It's a matter of faith. Last remark and there we go. Why are the sacraments given? To work faith as Romo. To strengthen faith. If this child will have repentance and faith, true conversion, there comes a day it will be comforted whilst he was baptized just as a child. Luther, in his study, had a Latin text, Baptismus Sum. He says, God asked for me what I did ask for him. Baptized I am, he says. God asked for me. God asked for you. Well, you didn't ask for him. And if God converts you, you'll know the power of it and the grace of it. Only in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let's end prayer. Lord, we thank you for thy word, but we need the application of thy spirit. Otherwise we are dead as the chair on which we sit, as dry as the bones, the dry bones in the valley, as blind as Bartimaeus before his conversion, as deaf of the deaf man who got his ears opened. Therefore, thy word says, let him that hear have ears, let him hear. And if I have no ears, I have heard nothing today. I have not tasted anything today. I have not cried today that I sinned against thee. I have not hated myself for the love of Christ, who loved me while I was an enemy from eternity. Be with the congregation when we come together, Lord willing, next Wednesday, for coming and asking thee a blessing upon the work and farms and the businesses. Lord, that it shouldn't be just a custom or a kind of insurance that if we don't pray it won't go good, but that we might implore thy goodness and ask blessing upon a cursed earth in the Lord Jesus, who hath been under the crown of thorns and thistles, is the King of the salvation of his people. Be with us. No, may we be with thee for thy sake only. Amen. Let's end lastly by singing Psalter 1:1-3. Psalter 1:1-3. That man is blessed who, fearing God, from sin restrains his feet. 1 and 3. That man is nourished like a tree. 1 and 3, Psalter 1. that you move on in peace to your houses, receiving the blessings of the living God. The love of God the Father, the grace of Jesus Christ, and the communion with the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.